really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our avid readers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf, and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. Books allow you to socialize, but not with the average Joe, but with book readers, who are people of intelligence. And that's important because it gets you involved with groups that make you a better person. How do you get into those groups? Through intelligence. And how do you acquire intelligence? Through books. So there are various types of books that exist, but I am a particular fan of biographies. They always interest me because it's like living another life. They're always relevant, even if it's the life of a person living in an entirely different environment. I remember a few months ago, I'm not going to say what book, but I was reading this book, which was a comparative biography of three famous men. They were all from the same country, but their country and their class was different compared to mine. And yet I learned so much. I have to commend the author for their idea of comparing the life of these three people and trying to find the thing that made them successful. All the same, and it was a book that, although it happened in a completely different country with a completely different class, I still learned a lot from it. So anyway, if you're looking for a book to read this week, and if I've managed to interest you in reading biographies, well, don't go away because I have just a book waiting to be uncovered after the break. Stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
This is IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and the program is Bookshelf. So one of the toughest things in life is to accept that you've been wrong your entire life. And everyone around you, not just you, but everyone around you has been wrong as well. So we're all seeking meaning in our lives, one way or another. And we look at the logic that surrounds us, and we try to make it make sense however we can. Even if it really doesn't make sense. And we live with that idea for a whole lifetime. We get immensely close to the people who surround us and share our opinion, typically because they're kind with us and they are nice. But then suddenly we realize truth is something else and it's somewhere outside of home. It's very hard to accept that so many years we've been living with something that wasn't the truth, and that our best friends, our parents, or our always kind preacher has been wrong the whole time. So it's no wonder that converts are so respected and so honorable in Islam, because they make one of the toughest decisions. We're mostly born into Islam, but there is so much inspiration to be found in the lives of converts, and there is so much that we can learn from them. That brings us to the book that I want to introduce today. In today's book, Diana Masuma Betty narrates her story of conversion and explains some of the troubles that converts go through. The book is called Seeking the Straight Path, Reflections of a New Muslim by Diana Masuma Betty and published by the World Islamic Network. World Islamic Network is a registered public trust under the government of India, established in 1991, with the main objective of imparting true knowledge of Islam to people around the world. The greatest challenge, as well as opportunity before the Shia today, in this era of media, is to promote the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
All right, so I have the book in front of me right now. It's 73 pages, and the contents are: how could everyone I have ever known be wrong? Is it good to be a Muslim? How can you believe in that? A conclusion, a brief prayer, a short reading list, an appendix for those who decide to convert, and in the end, there's a glossary. We're going to take a short break, and after the break, we're going to read an excerpt of this book. Stay tuned.
My Ummah, my Ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Bookshelf. We are going to read the book, Seeking the Straight Path, Reflections of a New Muslim, by Diana Masuma Betty, and published by the World Islamic Network. I'm going to be reading page 46, which is about division among Muslims. The topic of division within Islam is a sour spot for the world of Muslims. It is easy to find Muslims polarized on this issue and acting with great emotion and vigor, trying to prove their views. In the minds of these Muslims, those who adhere to a different group are in gross error and have purposely twisted the meanings of true Islam to their own ends. It is disappointing to converts when they find that Islam is not the unified religion it first appears to be. For me, a sense of dread enveloped me when I began to encounter religious factions within Islam. It was dread because I was still mentally exhausted from the process of conversion to Islam. And yet, here I was faced with different versions of Islam to sort out. I would again have to engage myself in serious study, prayer for guidance and self-evaluation to try and determine which of the factions, if any, were truthful. The discovery of division did not raise any doubt in me about Islam itself, but it raised doubt that any one group was in possession of true Islam. I had to consider the possibility of being a Muslim without a school, just as I had to consider being a Christian without a church. The various schools of Islam sometimes harbor bad blood toward each other. And thus, it isn't unusual to find books written by a scholar from one faction viciously defaming another faction to the point of calling it non-Muslim. Similarly, members from one faction will chastise members of another faction for causing disunity, when in truth, neither group seeks disunity. After all, you cannot blame someone for presuming what he or she finds to be true, even if it is different than what you find true. I think this book is very interesting. This part, I guess, is addressed to us Muslims and how we treat each other. There's a lot to learn from converts, and this is definitely a book which is worth reading. If you missed our show, we introduced the book Seeking the Straight Path, Reflections of a New Muslim by Diana Masuma Betty and published by World Islamic Network. If you've missed any of our shows, you can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week, from the whole team here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي